B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably gonna talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformer sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network and all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. I'm your host, Chuck Bean. I am joined in studio for the first time in what feels like forever.
I know. It feels like it's been months, but it's right. Only been, what, a matter
a
of...
A week or two?
Days?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You don't have my computer turned on.
It should be.
Oh, wait, the tab is muted.
Come on, Al.
You forgot to test your thing before we even started.
So I figure I would test it. There we go.
Yeah, there's your Price is Right music.
I think he really just has the Price is Right on and he's watching it and he just happens to know when they're playing the theme music.
Way better idea than what I've got going on over here.
He's yelling at Drew Carey about prices for mattresses over there.
I know, and I pulled up the soundboard thing, and it's not on the normal what I'm looking at, so I'm just going to close that out.
I didn't even look at the side. I didn't get up from this chair when I walked in the room, because I knew, as we'll talk about right now, that we weren't going to be streaming today.
Confirmation needed. Do you really want to quit the program? Yes! Okay! Goodbye! Anyway, hi, it's Nerd Radio.
Yes, you, of course, hear the voices of Mr. Al Beck and James joining me for this week's Nerd Radio. And we are recording this week's episode on Wednesday, as we usually do in the Checkpoint XP Studios. Typically, we go on Twitch live, but Wednesday, September 1st, is for a number of streamers a day off Twitch, as the hashtag goes.
Because they're so busy streaming, they needed some extra time on their hands to do other real life things, right?
Well, I wish it was that easy.
Oh,
and
it's probably for
that simple.
For other reasons.
Yes, because apparently the new thing on Twitch, which I don't think we've discussed, are what they're calling hate raids.
Oh, yes.
Where people are jumping in into people's raids and then putting homophobic stuff or racist stuff in their chat and just, generally being jerks.
Is it bots? It's bots, isn't it? Or am I mistaken in their understanding?
I think some of the people who are doing it
like a bot master.
Yeah,
have bots that have a bunch of accounts.
Okay, I'm going to jump in your stream and then I've got a program that will also generate 200 other accounts that are in your stream and I'm going to type a thing and then they're all going to type the same thing and it's going to be the worst thing you've ever read.
Yeah, and it's really, really horrible stuff.
Mm. Well, whether it's one person with bots or actually 200 people mandated, that's better to do with your time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, even if you feel that way, even if that's what are you accomplishing?
Come on, Al. We've all worked in morning radio, and two of us currently work in morning radio. You know people don't have that much better to do with their time. People call into you guys all the time, and you're like,
I can't
have
better
put you on the
to
air.
Do with their time. They just don't choose to use it appropriately.
I think listening to us is the best use of anyone's time.
Well, yeah, this right now is the best use of your time.
Right, exactly.
But essentially, so the day off Twitch, whatever, it's to kind of teach Twitch a lesson.
Yeah, it's kind
like,
of a
shame
walkout,
on you, Twitch.
Like a walkout protest with a lot of major streamers that are usually on on a daily basis that are like, you know what, I'm not going to be on today.
And I thought this was all going down yesterday, so I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to stream if nobody else is streaming. And
right.
I find out it's today. So there goes my stream today.
Well, now Twitch is suffering from 2 days now without who the F is JC.
I know. I'm missing out. I'm missing out on all those subs I'm not getting.
It's got to be rough.
Yeah, I'm missing out on all that man thong content.
But yeah, we discussed
it. I hope those homophobic bots learn their lesson.
Well, I think they're phobic, but...
So yeah, we discussed it before we decided to do the episode today, and we was like, you know what, we can take a week off. This is actually our second week off Twitch because last week was insane. We were resting up from Astronomicon.
Yeah, there's a lot going on at Astronomicon. I do want to say one more thing about this day off of Twitch thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's going to do what they're intending. Otherwise, you're just going to. I guess either way, there's going to be some good stuff to come from it because all these big name streamers won't be on, so lesser known streamers might get a little bit of the spotlight that are still streaming.
Yes.
But I think ultimately they're trying to hurt Twitch's bottom line by not having these big name streamers going on, getting subs, generating revenue. So I hope that's going to actually have the effect that they're hoping to have. Because like right now, there's still plenty of people streaming.
Yeah.
And there's still plenty of people watching other people stream just by going to the Twitch homepage right now. So hopefully it'll be.
Yeah, I think honestly what they're trying to accomplish is the fact that whenever something like these hate raids happen, Twitch is like, we're working on it. And then it takes them forever to actually do anything about it. And they're like... well, if you're going to take this long, then I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm going to find something else to do.
Yeah, you think there'd be an easier way to determine bots and stuff to where they're not able to just get 200 of them to drop into someone's chat and start, you know, dropping insanely inappropriate comments. Mm.
I think we're all on the same page, too, that like that kind of fandom, I guess you could call it, has no place almost anywhere.
Correct. But still, it exists so much.
Whether it's on Twitch, whether it's in professional wrestling or in a video game or comic books or anything, it's just like, you get out of here.
Yeah.
Time for that.
The problem with the internet is like there's people who think that way and you can't really change that. You can just hope to, you know, educate future generations and, you know, get better over time. But the problem with the internet is like people feel hate and they're like, I need to tell somebody this. Or even if they don't like, sometimes they just want to ruin someone's day.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, and that's garbage. Ain't no time for that.
Yes.
Well, what we did have time for just a couple of weeks ago was Astronomicon. And yes. I haven't actually talked to you since Astronomicon went down. James, how was your weekend?
It was good. I had a blast. I always have a good time with Astronomicon. The people over at Astronomicon are very very nice. And they give a lot of opportunities to people that don't usually get opportunities to get up on a stage and talk to certain people and be able to do stuff. I had a blast. You and I held a panel with Mick Foley on the very first night, which was amazing.
It was so cool to be like just sitting 6 feet away from Mick Foley.
I know it was. And I wasn't even offended that he pulled out a bag of Cheetos and started eating Cheetos right in the middle of our panel.
Yes, he did.
I'm like, is this mofo actually pulling out a bag of Cheetos? Well, damn, it's Mick Foley. You do what you need. You do what you want, Mr. Foley. You enjoy those Cheetos.
Can I tell you the Cheeto story?
Yeah.
Real quick. So he opens the bag of Cheetos. I'm in the middle of asking a question. He opens the bag of Cheetos. He starts eating. Obviously, he was a little like, hungry. And he got done with them, and then he had Cheeto dust all over it. And you could see him kind of like
wiping it on the tablecloth.
Wiping it on the tablecloth. He has it on the tablecloth.
I noticed that, too. I was like, oh, somebody needs to get this man a wet wipe.
And Amy was right there in the front row. And she, like, as we wrapped up the panel, she got up to the table. And was like, would you like a – I've got a wet wipe. Do you want – he's like, yes, please. Thank you. And then he gave her the Cheetos bag and said, bring this up to my table at some point this weekend and I'll sign it for you.
Oh, very nice.
And she almost didn't do it because she wasn't sure, like, am I still going to have to pay $40 to have McFoley sign this Cheetos bag? And he left one in the bag.
Oh, she left them behind. That's it. You get that bag signed with that Cheeto. That's eBay cash right there.
But yeah, Sunday she decided, you know what, even if I do have to pay for it, Mick Foley was pretty cool. I'm going to get it signed. So we stood in line and she got up to the thing and she paid the $40 and then she presented the bag to him and he immediately remembered it and was like, did you pay to have me sign this? And she's like, well, yeah, you had to do this. She's like, pick one of these pictures or something. I'll sign that too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then he took a picture with her and everything. It was
really
cool.
Did he do the whole dude love? Did he give you a selfie and then do the dude love selfie as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. It was fun to interact with him. I do, however, think I may have offended him with one of the questions during the panel.
Oh, really?
When I asked about Santa Claus.
Yeah.
The second I brought up Santa Claus, he like looks to me off mic. He goes, there's kids out there.
Yeah.
I'm Santa's helper. I'm Santa's helper. And I'm like, oh, come on, bro. Like, come on, bro. And I felt like I lost Mick Foley as my best friend at that very moment. When I referred to Santa Claus as a character and not as the actual
In this room, myself included, who's not a wrestling fan, are Mick Foley fans.
Yeah,
and let's be honest, the man's taken some pretty crazy bumps.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's fascinating how charismatic and intelligent he is for the things that he has physically done.
Oh, yeah. Did you get to ask him the Hell in a Cell question you wanted?
I did, yeah. I wanted to ask him, does it feel, if you're the guy coming off Hell in a Cell, does it feel like forever, or does it feel like you're in the air for 1 second and then everything hurts? And he said, it does feel a little bit like you're hanging there for a second, almost like in a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah.
Like Wile E. Coyote. But he said it does come up like it... It hits faster than you expect.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about it, because you mentioned that you wanted to ask him that a couple of times. That's why I was curious what his answer was. What I didn't think of until just now is the difference of the experience was for him falling off the Hell in a Cell when Undertaker threw him.
Right.
And that was planned between the two guys. And then when he got chokeslammed and the cell gave way... And obviously, you know,
unplanned,
unplanned in the chair, hit him in the face and stuck his tooth through his head. And
I have heard him say in different interviews that bump is actually harder.
That one?
The one to the ring through the cage is actually harder than the one to the table.
Well, especially you weren't, I mean, he, considering how horribly it went wrong that the chair hit him in the face, like a lot of things went right too.
Yeah.
You know, that he just happened to land right because, man, like we said, it wasn't planned, but like almost to that being suspended in animation for a little bit.
Right.
Like, I wonder if it felt different going through when it wasn't planned, when you're expecting to already be done
you're expecting
the
thing is going to just kind of like, and then you're going to be fine. But instead, you just go like, hey, wait.
Whoa. Oh, no.
It's an extra second of I'm falling.
Yeah.
And then that heavy ring that's just 2x4s with a high school wrestling mat on top of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was fantastic.
It was cool to hang out with him. You, I think, did a stellar job with the AEW panel.
Oh, thank you so much.
Because I feel like from the get-go, they were a rowdy bunch, and they weren't really in the mood to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Now, you want to say you handled yourself like a professional. You kept it going very well, and I think you brought it back around. You brought them back in to the whole thing. Like, you did a fantastic job with Sammy Guevara.
Darby Allin.
Yeah, Darby.
Ty Conti was there. And they sprung on me at the last minute, a guy that's on Sammy Guevara's vlog, Charlie Ramone.
So it's something you share in common with Charlie Ramone, is you are also on Sammy's blog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sammy Guevara. And a lot of the AEW wrestlers, a lot of wrestlers in the last like decade or something like that, will have a YouTube show where they'll just take a camera and film themselves going from airport to airport or backstage goofing off while they're waiting for their match or something like that. And Sammy Guevara is one of them that he's got a vlog. And one of the security guys who's also a wrestler, Charlie Ramone, was there. And like I said, like they got there and I had everything in my little notepad, like like a professional journalist.
Clark Kent.
Like Clark Kent. I've got my little notepad with notes and questions. And they're like, hey, make sure you introduce Charlie last. I'm like, what? Okay. And I had to, like, as I'm introducing everybody, I'm looking at Ty Conti because I'm going to say her next, but I'm looking past her at Charlie Ramone because he's got his name on his shirt, like right in the bottom corner. And I can't remember for the life of me what his name is.
Oh, no.
And as I introduced her, he like turned and I saw part of it. And I remembered, oh, yes, Charlie, Charles, my name is Chuck, and the Ramones. Charlie Ramone. Okay, got it. Sweet. But he was a blast for somebody that I did not expect to be talking to. He was a lot of fun. And
is it one of those things where it was an all internal monologue, and by the time it was time to introduce him, was like you'd already remembered, so it was smooth, like you knew the whole time?
Right, exactly. But in my head, I was like, it's going to happen again. It's going to be Billy West all over again.
That's what I was just going to say. I'm glad I had a happier ending than Billy West.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we had a blast.
Yeah, it was a great panel. We had a sing along. They did the Jericho entrance music
sing along with a little girl,
with a young child. They debuted a crazy belt. This has something to do, I think, with Sammy's blog. But there's like a belt. It's like a spinner belt, but there's like slices of pizza.
Yes,
I was so jealous of this belt.
So if you watch Sammy's belt, I didn't realize this wrinkle to the joke, but Charlie Ramone has the title for the vlog, and I don't know what you do. I don't know if you wrestle for it or if they play a game like on Up, Up, Down, Down or what, but he has the title and it's a foam title.
Okay.
It's just a little foam toy belt, and they decided they were going to give him an actual belt, so they like had somebody build this really nice Sammy Guevara's vlog belt, and they were like, you deserve a real belt, Charlie, and they showed it to him. He's like, well, we're not going to give you this one. And then they had another one that they had made that was had a blue strap, and it looked really nice, but it had a spinner like John Cena's belt was a piece of pizza. And he was so dejected because apparently he hates blue strapped belts, like
the SmackDown title.
He thinks it looks dumb.
I gotcha.
And he thought the belt looked dumb. And there's some really funny stuff on the episode of the vlog from Astronomicon.
I'll have to go check that out.
Just dragging it behind him and talking to Tony Schiavone about, like, look at this piece of garbage.
No, that's funny. Here's a question for you: Is there videos of this available anywhere, or was this you had to be there to?
So they didn't film the Mick Foley panel.
Nope.
And there was the reason for that, because while we were talking, Mick had actually said, "If you guys please don't take your cameras out and take video of this, because if you take video of this, then I can't tell you some of the stories I would like to tell you."
Oh.
Because then it'll end up online, and I don't want that.
Yeah, you made some references to marijuana as well.
That did. Like,
make sure nobody's recording this. And he right. started having some marijuana confessions, but yeah. doing some edibles.
Yeah.
So that was what happened, though. James was like, Santa Claus, you smoke weed.
Yeah. Santa Claus, yeah, Santa Claus does edibles. Those aren't regular cookies he's eating. All weed-laced cookies that you leave out on a tray.
Admit it, Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's why he shot me that dirty look.
Right.
But yeah, also, you had another panel. You had a panel every single day.
I did, yeah. Which was it's the first experience for me to actually host a panel. But
yeah, you're starting off with some big names, man.
I thought it pretty well. I really enjoyed doing the panel on Friday with you because it eased me into the process, and I didn't feel like it was all on me. But definitely, I was in the deep end of the pool on Saturday.
Oh, for sure you were. I was like, oh, man, especially. And then with Saturday when, like, Darby Allin. He wasn't very responsive to some of the questions you were asking, but he's probably got a lot of pressure on him. There's a big announcement the night before with CM Punk coming back to AEW.
Yeah.
He's going up against Darby Allin. And I was like, oh, man, poor Chuck. Like, I can't believe these wrestlers are treating him like this. And then, like I said, you brought it right back around.
Right.
He stayed professional. He brought it around. And I think you won. You got over, man.
Yeah, on one hand, it was exciting to be probably the first person to talk to Darby Allin after the CM Punk announcement.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I didn't want to ask him the question he's going to get for the next, you know, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah, until the pay-per-view.
It. Yeah, exactly. And he was definitely, Amy had pointed this out, he was staying in character a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would answer questions like himself.
Like Darby Allin, yeah.
Right, but every time Sammy Guevara or Ty Conti would start goofing off, he would put his head down on the table so he could laugh because mm-hmm. he was so... Like, he just hang. All three of them have been going to conventions this past, like, summer.
Okay.
Like, different comic conventions.
It's
and
probably
stuff.
Good
so I think,
promotion for the wrestling, for AEW.
Yeah, I think AEW has just decided, like, hey, you three are going to be the group that we send out to these conventions over the summer to do autographs and panels and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was cool. And then Sunday, I got to talk to Tony Schiavone, and that was
pretty cool, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch wrestling during the Monday Night Wars, but I did go back and watch some wrestling from mm-hmm. the Monday Night Wars, but it was all WWE wrestling, and Tony Schiavone was the guy over on WCW.
Yeah.
So I don't have a real extensive history of hearing Tony Schiavone's voice in my head. I love what I hear in AEW. I think he's a lot of fun. And
the
his
only
podcast,
thing is, it's Sting! You know, like,
yeah.
That's the only one that would always ring a bell to me.
Right. But I gotta say, I got to talk to him at the panel. I did the interview you guys heard on last week's Nerd Radio, and then I got to talk to him a little bit on one of the other days. I am a Tony Schiavone fan for life.
Yeah.
He was so kind, and, like, I didn't go into the conversation looking for advice, but he's also done radio, and he gave me some fascinating advice.
Nice. He's like your John Cena. Like, what John Cena is to me, you got Tony Schiavone.
I am a fan of, as we call him on the One Fall Show, Handsome Tony.
Handsome
and
Tony.
And will be forever.
Very nice.
Because he was a blast. And yeah, I got to do a couple of interviews. Mickey James, yeah. Spencer from Ice Nine Kills, which was real cool. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Great weekend. I can't wait to do it again, you know, pending the whole pandemic situation.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they'll be back soon. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the plans are.
Yeah, I think the only real complaint, because the hotel was beautiful too.
Yeah,
the hotel was way better than the hotel that they've done the last couple of years. But the only real complaint was everything happened in a tent outside in the hotel parking lot, and it was like 90 goddamn degrees all weekend.
So it was great to have the nice weather, but anybody who was out there was just sweating their balls off.
I was, I don't know how long
if
we
they
went.
Have balls.
I don't know how long we went with Mick Foley, but I think we went a little short. And then Saturday, knowing that it was like noon and it was 90 degrees, I was like, that was the thing I told Amy about Friday is that we got through all our questions and I looked at the time on my phone and we'd been talking for 7 minutes and it was a one hour panel.
The first page of questions were gone and it was 7 minutes past the time of the start. And I was like, oh boy. We've burned through quite a bit of stuff already.
Right.
But technically, I believe we started a few minutes early. Like, literally, Mick rolls out. We're like, hey, what's going on, Mick?
Yep.
Like, where are your moderators? Like, cool. We're ready to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'm ready to pop on there. I wrote this huge, great, epic introduction to bring him on. It was maybe a little over the top, but I figured he would appreciate it and kind of find some humor in it. And he just walks out there and grabs a seat right where all our stuff was. I'm trying to move my stuff out of the way from Mick Foley. And
yep.
Then we got the ball rolling, but we ended up going about, I would say, a little over 40 minutes in all. And I'd say the material that we had prepared from questions that I had and the questions that you had ready, we went about to the 34, 35-minute mark. And then actually maybe closer to 30 minutes. And then we opened it up to questions from the audience, and that brought us to the 40-45 minute mark. So
yeah,
I think we hit exactly what the guys at Astronomicon wanted. I know one of the guys behind it that put it together, George, he said we killed it with that panel. So nothing but good feedback about it. But yeah, what a, like, to me, meaningless achievement to be able to share the stage with a wrestling legend like Mick Foley.
Hell yeah.
Ask him some questions and just to be photographed, you know, on the same stage as the man that everybody is such a fan of.
You're having a hell of a year.
I know.
John Cena,
I'm sharing the stage with Cena, Mick Foley, getting married.
Right.
Got some of the Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I love that's on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that for the Saturday and Sunday panels, because it was in the middle of the day, I was like, we run a little short, I'm sure no one's going to mind.
Yeah, because it's so hot
out. It's very hot outside.
Mm. And that's all due to COVID stuff. You can't have that many people in a room inside. Right. So they had to move it outside to keep it safe for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, and me and Amy got to play some Mario Golf in the game room.
Oh, did you beat Friday. Mario the cross-country levels?
No. We played the basically where it's capture the flag, where there's like 7 golf holes.
Okay.
And you're just trying to get your ball in the hole before one of the other players does.
Gotcha.
And there's all the stuff on the field, and you shoot and then you run to your ball and mm-hmm. then shoot it again. She didn't like it.
No. There's parts of the game that I love, but I want to be able to unlock everything, and I can't beat the cross-country portion of the game, so it's dead to me, you know?
And you also did what? You did an eating contest?
Yeah, there was a Motor City menu contest amongst some of the Magic Ninja guys. So, like, Monoxide and Madrox from Twisted went up against Ming from Comic Book Men, as well as some other people from the staff, like Big Vin Dustin. Some people know him as, like, he's kind of like their security, but yeah. He's also like a man behind the scenes that does stuff for Magic Ninja and for the band. He goes on tour with them.
He had to let me in the green room.
Did he?
To do my interview with Spencer.
He
was like,
go.
Like I called the guy on the phone. He's like, yeah, meet in the green room in like 5 minutes. I'm coming down the hall. And he's like, sup?
Yeah, big, tall, big, huge dude with a bright green mohawk. He was my buddy when Twisted took me down to the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Awesome.
I was like, oh, man, I'm kind of like, this is like the guy who's like showing me the ropes and showing me around.
Yeah.
And I was kind of intimidated because I don't want to cross this guy.
He's a big guy.
But he's one of the nicest dudes you ever met. I don't know if I've told the story before, but when I went down to the Gathering of the Juggalos, this is just a story about Dustin. I'm going down to the Gathering of the Juggalos. I had a few doobies on me, and I was trying to, like, share the wealth with everybody. And at one point in time, like, he was always, like, smoking me out. Like, so I'm always burning his dubes. And finally, like, the last night there, I'm like, dude, I have a doobie. Let's smoke a doobie. He's like, yeah, in a minute. And then I'd track him down again. Hey, you ready to smoke this doobie? Like, I kept hounding him about smoking this doobie. And then I got all paranoid. And I was like, I think he thinks I have a crush on him. I think he thinks like I got a thing for him now. So he's trying to avoid me.
Right.
Oh, no. What have I done? So that's my story about Dustin. He was the guy that I know I've told this story before, that I think thought I wanted to bang him. Because I would not stop hounding him about smoking this doobie.
Did he ever end up smoking that doobie?
No. I still smoke doobies with him beyond then, but that day, or that weekend at the gathering,
he was like, nah,
we
good.
Had never smoked.
He needed his wits about him.
Yeah, yes. He's like, I don't know what this crazy man-thong enthusiast homoerotic guy is going to try to
do. Yeah, that's the other question. Were you fully clothed at the time, or were you
I did.
Mostly nude when you're like, you want to get high?
I was only mostly nude around the gathering. I put my clothes on when I was side stage, because it was side stage during some of the performances, so...
Mostly new James. Yeah. Just you want to get high.
Come on, Dustin. I know you want to spark this dude with me.
Oh,
spark
my goodness.
With your bro.
Right. So, yeah, Astronomicon was a great time. Can't, what was that?
Oh, it's. That went...
You want to get high?
Yeah.
There it is. Stowley.
Yes, Stowley.
So, yeah, it was a fine time. Looking forward to them doing it again next year. It's got to be it's a fun convention.
Yeah, we know Jay Muse is going to be back next year.
Yeah.
You know? He had to cancel
that's
due
what,
to some issues.
Jay Muse wasn't there on that weekend. And then Corey Taylor, who was supposed to be there, couldn't be there because he got down to COVID.
COVID-19 positive, man.
Yeah, but he's feeling better now, so that's good. Hey, let's take a short break and we'll come back. You mentioned the return of CM Punk, and I have not talked to you guys since that weekend, which was probably the greatest example of professional wrestling in 2021 that there is. So we'll talk about that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I'm Tom Savage, listening to Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
Nerd!
It always feels good to hear Homer scream nerd at you. Nerd Radio.
It's like the one person I wouldn't mind being insulted by was Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
You know, back when they were in the WWE, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, who are part of the Elite in AEW now, had a gimmick where...
The Good Brothers, right?
Yeah, the Good Brothers, where Carl would say, "Hit him with it, Gallows!" And Gallows would go, "Nerd!" And I always hoped they would send them to the station so that I could get him to call me nerd for Nerd Radio. Because that would have been the best thing ever. I still could. Maybe when AEW comes around.
Yeah, they start doing some press.
Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, because what was it? They were saying one of the questions during your panel was, when are you guys coming to Detroit?
Yeah.
They unfortunately didn't have the answer to that, but they do. Detroit's a big market, and it's definitely on the agenda to try to get up out here at some point in time.
Right. So in addition to Astronomicon weekend a couple of weeks ago, it was also a huge weekend for wrestling. Because Friday, which we'll start with, was the second episode of AEW Rampage, their new show that's 1 hour at 10 o'clock when SmackDown ends at 10. And Saturday was SummerSlam, and then Sunday was an NXT TakeOver. But let's focus on Friday, because that episode of Rampage, going into it, was called The First Dance. It was their first time in Chicago, and everybody was fairly certain this is when CM Punk's going to debut. And I've been saying for a while, because this rumor goes around like every couple of months. It's, oh man, CM Punk's gonna show up. So if any wrestling company's in Chicago, oh, this is when CM Punk shows up. This is when CM Punk comes back to wrestling. So I said, I'll believe it when he's on my television.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be damned if he did not show up on my television immediately, as soon as the episode started. Yeah, they let the crowd chant CM Punk for about, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds, and then Cult of Personality started, and the place erupted. Have you seen this yet, Al?
I did. That's how I knew to play this instead of Killswitch Engage.
I have not heard a
crowd. I like CM Punk. When that brief time I got back into wrestling a few years ago, not my most recent return to wrestling.
Sure.
That lasted for about a month. But
right.
No, when I was into it before,
right.
He was the Money in the Bank holder. That was my first exposure to him.
Yes.
And I really liked him.
Yeah.
Which is why I was also really interested in that when you guys told me about that interview where he blew the lid off of WWE. I went back and listened to that podcast. So I think, it made the rounds. I think even on the radio station website, I think it got shared on the Nerd Radio social media. So I did actually look at his return real quick. And
for people that aren't into wrestling, it probably sounds like, you know, you're talking Portuguese. Like, what is the CM Punk character?
What is a CM Punk?
But it is probably as big a deal as you can get in modern day wrestling. He's probably the Hulk Hogan or the John Cena of, you know, a lot of fans' minds.
Yeah, I didn't realize
how
big he actually was until you see him come back. I have not seen him do any work in the ring whatsoever.
Yeah.
So my only thing
That's where
with CM
Amy
Punk,
is too.
Yeah.
Like I showed her the Money in the Bank match where he beats John Cena in Chicago at that exact same arena and then walks out so he can show up a week later. But she's not seen she's heard the name. She's seen the face,
mm-hmm.
but she does not get it. It's not that she's not a fan. She's just, I hadn't any exposure to this guy, so I don't know what the big deal is.
Yeah,
but
he checks his phone, it's clobbering time, or he checks his watch.
He checks his watch,
time. Yeah.
Just like the thing.
Yeah.
Because he always was a big comic book guy.
Okay.
It's a really funny story Samoa Joe tells about how CM Punk used to drive him to the comic store when they wrestled in the same company, because CM Punk was straight edge. Samoa Joe would be high as balls.
So he was the DD.
Right.
Well, that's cool, though. Yeah, the other reason why I watched it is, like, I like CM Punk, but also I think I've said this before as well, that when I fall down my YouTube rabbit holes, my favorite thing is fill in the blank returns.
Yeah.
You know, I love the energy in the room.
Sure.
When a wrestler comes back for the first time in a long time. And my favorites are, you know, when Stone Cold or The Rock make a rare appearance.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Even like a CM Punk who you haven't seen in a long time. When they come back, it's really cool to see how happy people are to see them, you know?
The last time I remember a crowd being this consistently loud for that amount of time was when Triple H tore his quad the first time. And then he came back like around December, just before the couple weeks before the Royal Rumble. And like they played his song, I think, three times all the way through.
Really?
And just kept going from turnbuckle to turnbuckle doing his pose. And people were just roaring at him. They were so happy
all over the place too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They were so happy to have him back. And that's what.
Give me a bath, Triple H.
Now, that's what this felt like. It was hands down probably the moment in professional wrestling in 2021.
That's cool.
Huge.
That's cool.
It's the one that we're going to remember. I could go minute by minute and pick apart what made it amazing. But
well, there's a new wrestling meme guy, the crying guy. He's like a new wrestling meme,
right?
Yep.
And what is it? Tommy Dreamer, who's working at Impact Wrestling now. Like 2 days after people started memeing the crying guy, he's like, somebody get me his information because I want him to come to Impact. I'm going to give him tickets to an Impact show. And then Tony Khan, who owns All Elite Wrestling, was like, yeah, Tommy, when you get the information, pass along to me. I got seats it all out for him.
Wow, that's awesome.
Which is it's essentially their WrestleMania, and it's this coming weekend. And that's where CM Punk's going to fight Darby Allin.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what he's going to do, what he brings to the ring. Because like I said, like you mentioned, I'm on the same boat as Amy. Never seen him wrestle before, so I'm excited to see what all the hype is. You know, is it really clobbering time when he's checking that watch?
Right.
It'll be curious to see what you think when he does start wrestling again, because he made me a fan when I came back to wrestling for a little bit. He made me a fan pretty quick. Like, I had never heard of him when he came out, but you know, part of it for me too is the Killswitch Engage song. I like Killswitch Engage.
Oh, sure. So,
like, immediately, there was a little connection with him, but I liked him almost immediately.
When
we'll see how you think pretty quick. I'd be curious.
When he started in WWE, he had a style that is a little bit more like the AEW style, but you hadn't seen a lot of wrestlers do that. It was like him and Daniel Bryan were the kind of guys you'd see that. Now there's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Finn Balor. There's a bunch of wrestlers that wrestle that kind of style, but it'll be interesting to see if he can keep up with the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros and, you know, all the people that do a lot of flippy stuff because they're way younger than he is.
Yep.
But he's also fantastic on the mic. Like, I joked that they actually had to go into break, a 90-second break, and come back before he even said anything on the microphone. That's how long his entrance was. And then it's a one-hour show, and I realized he's been talking, like, his segment was 22 minutes.
Oh, yeah. How many matches do you think they had to get a match off the card that maybe they didn't advertise?
If anybody else had picked up a microphone in the ring and spent 22 minutes on television, every wrestling fan on the face of the planet would be livid.
By the way, screw it. I want to hear it. Anyway, continue.
No, it was a good song. So, yeah, it's going to be really fascinating to see what he brings to the All Elite Wrestling, and now that I think the only big get left is probably Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, which he alluded to, was it last Friday?
Yeah.
During Rampage?
Yeah, the fans were
yes, yes, yes.
Fans were chanting yes, and he said something along the lines of, you might have to be a little bit more patient for that one.
Somebody else's gimmick, I believe you said.
Yeah. But I mean, there was a picture that somebody had taken of somebody who looked like Bray Wyatt that was sitting in the crowd.
Yes, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So, It's the kind of thing where, like, you want all your favorite guys to be on TV and to have a job. But if they're all at this place, then that means that other people don't get the opportunity to be on TV.
Yep.
So we'll have to wait and see. But AEW's friggin' that probably made so many wrestling fans that particular Friday.
Oh, absolutely. I bet you have people that weren't watching wrestling are now back into wrestling. And now the new brand is AEW.
Yeah.
And I think WWE sees that and feels that, because I feel like they've been stepping up their shows a little bit more. You're seeing bigger stars take some bigger risks.
Yeah.
I don't know when the last time I've seen Drew McIntyre do a dive over the top rope.
Okay.
He did that on Monday night.
Really?
You know.
The only thing I saw from Monday night was the cluster bleep between Charlotte Flair and Nia Jax.
I was half asleep.
I woke up Tuesday morning to see a video of that where, like, something went wrong and they started shooting on each other. They were, like, legitimately slapping each other and trying to pick each other up and headlock each other and take each other down. And I was like, that doesn't look good. And it also looks completely unplanned, like something has gone way south.
Makes you wonder what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually tried to get back into it again. Like, I had a second attempt recently.
Yeah.
When they got back on the road again, I was like, you know what? I think it was when John Cena returned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I like him too.
Yeah. Right.
So let's go ahead and give it a watch again. And it, I ended up falling out of it, and it came down more to, I just don't have time for a three-hour show on Monday, a one-hour show on Tuesday, and a two-hour show on Friday, and I can't just watch SmackDown. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to watch it, I have to watch all three. I could maybe drop AEW.
Right.
But I also, the way I am, I can't watch AEW and not WWE.
And unfortunately, that's what you have to do now because there's a show on every night. You basically have to pick your favorites because, I mean, otherwise, every night is taken up with 2 to 3 hours of wrestling.
Yeah, the only night during the week that doesn't have wrestling on is Thursday, you know?
That's when
on the TV.
When Impact's on.
Oh, is it?
But nobody
they're on, like, Twitch,
bothers.
Though, aren't they? Are they on actual TV?
I don't think they're on Twitch anymore, but they are on some cable channel somehow.
Okay.
You know, like,
I didn't even know that
some people don't even get, so...
I probably don't get it. I've never realized it. I would probably put it on because to me, it's just it's good stuff to have on in the background. If there's something that interests you, I'll pay attention. If there's something that's not that interesting, I'm usually on my phone, on social media, working on something on the computer or whatever. But it's there.
Right.
It's like the comforting thing in the background.
Sure, there. I did. I had a little bit of fun for like a month or two.
Yeah,
but it was too much of an investment.
It's a huge
investment,
especially if you can't just close yourself off to like. It's kind of like going to the ice cream parlor and I need to get all five flavors. Well, you don't need to get all five flavors. You can just get one or two.
Have you looked at me lately? I get five flavors and stop it right on the way home to get a sixth flavor.
Before we move on, though, that weekend was also SummerSlam. Did you want to briefly talk about anything that happened at SummerSlam, like the return of Becky Lynch?
Oh, yeah. Becky Lynch came back. I think that was a direct response to the CM Punk thing. Yeah. John Cena failed to break the record being WWE champion.
Right. He failed against Roman Reigns, and then Brock Lesnar came out with his new ponytail.
Yeah. We got ponytail Brock, and we're right back to a lot of the same stuff.
Well, he was gone, right?
Yeah, we hadn't heard from him, since was that WrestleMania? Drew McIntyre beat him, I believe.
Okay, because for that 2 months I was watching, I didn't see him.
Brock Lesnar tends to, the last couple of years, have a similar appearance contract that The Undertaker used to have.
Gotcha.
I'll show up around Royal Rumble, and I'll do about 3 episodes of television, and I'll get that WrestleMania paycheck, and then I won't talk to you guys until August for SummerSlam.
I feel like that's the only way The Undertaker lasted as long as he did, was the fact that he, you know, had very limited appearances in the last, you know.
I've always thought that wrestling should have, like, off-seasons. Like, they should have different...
Sure, yeah.
...rosters of people that are on during certain times of the year, but then, like... You know, John Cena's going to be on during the summer, but then he's going to get the winter off kind of thing so that they can heal up and they can come back. And then you don't see him for a while. So when you do see him, you're like, John Cena's back.
Yeah.
You cream your pants.
But right.
It seems like he is just sort of popping in and out, right? Like this.
Yeah. I feel like so this was a good opportunity for him to promote the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
But I feel like he also had contractual obligations that he didn't meet during COVID times. Because he's coming back to do that that program with The Fiend right when the whole world shut down. So, and I feel like he showed up at a Detroit house show. He showed up at a few of the other stops on the tour, and I feel like those were makeup dates for the dates that he missed that he would have been at had COVID not shut down the whole world. So I feel like that's kind of what that was all about because in the middle of his little Summer of Cena run, I saw an article. I'm a total clickbait bitch. So I just read the headline.
Oh, when it comes to Cena, we expect it of you.
And I believe it. And he said he's there for the WWE. He's going to be there for as long as the fans want him to be involved with WWE. But now he loses that SummerSlam. And peace out. Now he's posting like, hey, thanks. It's been fun. I'm moving on to something else.
Right.
So I'm like, well, you weren't really around. I'm a fan. I want you to be around.
Yeah.
But he's not, you know.
It's this horrible thing where like he couldn't tell us. It's like, I'm just here for SummerSlam.
Correct.
Because then a lot of people just check out.
Yeah,
because
then after SummerSlam, you're done. You know, you stop watching or you don't care anymore or whatever. But also, I think they needed him to sell tickets to these shows as soon as the world opened back up. As soon as they were able to start doing shows with live crowds again, he was right back in there. He's the front seller. He's selling tickets to get people to come in and buy tickets to the show and still show up. So I think that was what they used Cena for, was to try to help get the fans back into a little bit of normalcy and also to promote his movie and you know, to get the money, the revenue going. Now he's got a bunch of weird NFTs.
Yeah.
You know, which, sorry, I'm going to drop a $25,000 on a once-in-a-lifetime experience at
animated
WrestleMania.
GIF.
Yeah, and some Thuganomics digital chains that I can't do anything with other than try to resell them. I don't know. I still don't understand the NFT world. So
yeah.
I felt like specifically between Rampage on Friday and SummerSlam on Saturday, which was weird. It was on Saturday instead of Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Why was that?
Because the NXT show was on Sunday, and they typically do that in the reverse. NXT is on Saturday. We'll have, if they have a show on the same weekend, like a pay-per-view,
yeah.
NXT will be on Saturday, and the WWE show will be on Sunday. The problem with that is it's been happening for like 4 years now. Every time they do that, the NXT show on Saturday is so good, it doesn't matter how good the WWE show is on Sunday, it can't match it.
Uh-huh.
I also feel like, in terms of things that WWE is doing, if they are preparing themselves to be sold.
Right.
I think they wanted to see what kind of ratings can one of
can
the biggest
we do on
pay-per-views that we have in the year, how good a ratings can we get on a Saturday?
Yeah.
Because I feel like whoever the prospective buyer, if there is a buyer, this is just conspiracy.
Right.
James, wrestling conspiracy, James talking. If there is a buyer, I feel like they're probably looking to put the pay-per-views on a Saturday night.
Right.
Because I think that's when boxing pay-per-views are. MMA fights. All usually Saturday nights. Sunday nights, it's a weird night because, you know, people don't stay up as late. They
right.
get to work on Monday. So a Saturday night was probably more ideal of a night to do it, and they wanted to see what kind of ratings can they do to show this potential buyer, if there is such a buyer. That's my take on that whole situation.
I felt like specifically between Friday and Saturday, why I say that that encompasses what watching wrestling is like in 2021 is because this metaphor came to mind of like AEW is the relative that knows what you want for Christmas and gets it for you and then doesn't tell you, you know, you're like, did you get me this thing? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But then you open it and you're like, yeah, it's the thing I wanted. WWE.
Sometimes they forget the batteries, though.
WWE.
Like some of those fizzled out little big finishes of theirs that they had.
Grandpa,
you know.
Vince isn't quite sure what you want, but is sure what he's going to give you is what you want.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's just not anymore.
Yeah, well, that's always why, and generally speaking, when the big company inevitably falls down, it's because, you know, when you're the little guy, you look for the hole in the market. And
right.
You fill that hole, and then, you know, eventually you start to think that you know better than the consumer. When you stop listening and start dictating.
Yeah.
Inevitably, you know,
certainly
they'll find something
like,
else because you create a new hole that someone else is going to fill.
It certainly feels like, and I'm sure there's plenty of people who are still having a blast with WWE. But if yeah. you're a wrestling fan like myself, you definitely I understand more so now than ever why Wednesday night AEW Dynamite is must see TV and everything else is. Well, let me see what happened on the internet, because that's definitely where I am. I watch NXT on Tuesdays, and I keep up with AEW on Wednesday and Friday, and then even SmackDown, which I've loved for years. I'm just like, let's see what happens.
It's a lot of the same old, same old. You can get caught up.
See if there's a segment I really want to see.
I will say Rampage only being an hour is awesome.
I love it.
Because it's like, oh, cool, just 1 hour.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much of a commitment, so it's like, yeah, I'm not totally asleep yet. Put it on, and I can watch all of it. You know,
it's
and then I can
perfect for my attention span.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen enough wrestling after 1 hour, yeah.
And it's putting myself back into it. That's the time is why I just couldn't stick with it.
Yeah, because they started doing those shows on YouTube on like Monday and Tuesday, AEW Dark and Dark Elevation, stuff like that. Those shows are like 3 hours long, and they're all, you know, kind of squash matches, and they're the guys that don't make it on TV on Wednesdays, but like 3 hours on YouTube, my God.
Mm-hmm. Probably just trying to build up that YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, is they're just trying to make a whole bunch of content as quickly as possible.
Get it monetized as quickly as they can, and that's just more revenue, ad revenue, that it's passive revenue that they can make.
Right. All right, well, let's take one more break. When we come back, I do have some actual video game news for you guys.
Woo.
To talk about. They've revealed two more fighters for that Nickelodeon All-Stars fighting game.
Nice.
I can't wait to tell you about that. Also, a way for you to recreate the Aliens movies, both in your home and on a video game system.
Ooh, not in my house.
And and finally, I'll tell you why I'm done with Marvel's Avengers.
It's finally happened.
I'm done.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're a talking turtle.
And you're a human nerd. Now get it.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Run for your life.
Hey, man, look at me rocking out. I'm on the radio.
That's right. It's more Nerd Radio wherever you get your podcast, but most importantly, at our website, Nerd Radio 101. As we said at the top of the show, you can typically check us out Wednesday afternoons on Checkpoint XP's Twitch stream. We're not doing it this week because it is a day off Twitch on Wednesday, September the 1st, but we'll be back. Don't you worry. It's Chuck Bean, it's James, and it's Al Beck hanging out and talking about everything going on in the world of nerds. And a couple of video game stories to get to before we take off. So a couple of weeks ago, Hasbro, who makes, you know, Transformers and G.I. Joe and all that stuff, on their website, they will consistently say, hey, here's a new product that we're putting out. You can pre-order it right now. Hey, you know, hey, here's a cool thing. And they are making a Nerf Aliens 35th anniversary blaster.
Oh, this we can definitely bring into the house to recreate Alien.
Yes, you can. You can. It looks just like the one from the Aliens movie. It's got the counter on it for how many bullets is supposed to be in it, and it fires little Nerf pellets, Nerf balls.
Nice.
That you put a clip in there, and that's coming up. Spooky Aliens music. Yeah, it also comes in a carrying case, which looks pretty badass. I gotta say, that's. However, it is $94.99.
Well, it's cheaper than I thought. I figured it was going to be like a $200 gun.
Really?
Yeah, well, Nerf toys are so expensive.
I've never really priced out a Nerf gun.
Oh, man. Nerf guns are not cheap.
No?
No. They're usually quite a bit pricey. So to get a gun of that stature, to fire that many bullets, to be a replica from a classic movie,
yeah,
$94, I think you got yourself a deal.
Yeah. Also, the new Aliens video game came out. I think it was last week in Aliens Fireteam Elite.
Really? It's already out.
It's okay. Out, yeah. I wouldn't have known about it except a buddy of mine who I play games with on the computer bought us all a copy.
Nice.
Because for one thing, it's $40.
Okay.
Instead of the typical $60, $70.
Yeah.
Dollars. It is an online kind of, not Dead by Daylight, Left 4 Dead style shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where I think you are third person instead of being fully first person. But
I think you're correct. Third person, yeah.
Yeah, you can choose between the Marine that's got the gun, that's the big Gatling gun that's on the arm from the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You can be one of those guys. You can be a medic. You can be an engineer, which drops a turret for people to shoot at the aliens. And then you go through your missions, which I think there's only... Somebody had said online it's only about maybe 4 to 8 hours of gameplay. If you play it, like all
you're
the
playing
missions.
Like a solo campaign type.
Yeah,
thing?
Exactly. Okay. But you can play these missions over and over and over again and unlock new guns and more skill points for your dude and whatnot, and make him better and better. But you go through each of these missions where you're basically getting on a ship that you can't get contact with, and eventually aliens start pouring out of the vents, and you got to hole up somewhere and shoot them down, and then find a way off the ship or find a scientist on the ship and get him off there. And it is a blast.
It looks pretty cool.
I got to play it. I actually streamed it, I think, Monday night with two of my buddies. Because it's a three-person game instead of a four-person game like most of these games are. But the sound and music is dead on. Like, the music cues come up when the aliens start pouring through the vents and coming after you. Shooting the aliens is a blast. It makes this really cool sound whenever you get a headshot on an alien, which is really nice.
And are you able to play as the alien, or are you always just playing as, like, the Space Marines?
Always Space Marines.
Okay.
Always Space Marines. Unfortunately, it's not unlike the Predator game where, like, somebody gets to be the
alien.
That's
what I was going to ask, because I thought it was kind of like the Predator game or, like, the Friday the 13th game where you have the survivors and then the killer or whatever.
Yeah, no, you are always playing the Space Marines, and so it's, you know, team-based. And I guess you can play with bots, which is cool if you want to play it offline, if you don't have anybody. And you can pick up random games, but, yeah, it's on the PlayStation, it's on the Xbox, it's on the PC, and it is it's worth the money.
Man, I didn't even realize it was already available. I knew it was supposed to be coming out soon. I didn't realize that it's already came out.
I've had it in my wish list since it was like announced on Steam. I was like, yeah, I got friends I could play that with. That looks like a blast. And I had no idea until I got the email saying, so-and-so bought you a shout out to my buddy Fred. Fred bought you a copy of Aliens Fireteam.
Nice work, Fred.
Thank you, Fred. Awesome. So, yeah, highly recommend that game. Actually, My gaming habits since Astronomicon have shifted dramatically.
Really?
Yes, because before Astronomicon, I would log in and play Avengers for an hour or two on my PlayStation 4.
You get your daily stuff done?
Yeah, and then I would play that Pokemon Unite game, which I still play. But ever since Astronomicon and the War for Wakanda stuff for Avengers, I play stuff on my PC now more at night. I sit down and I play the Aliens game. They re-released Quake. The original Quake.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah, it's the basically the sequel to Doom that id Software made. It's the one that Trent Reznor did the soundtrack for. So everybody bought the CD because the first track was the information of the game, and tracks 2 through 14 were the soundtrack. So everybody would just listen to the soundtrack on CD.
Okay.
But yeah, they kind of remastered it and reissued it for like the Switch and the PlayStation and whatnot. And it comes with the original game, the two expansions they made, and then two completely new expansions, as well as this really cool thing that the most current version of Doom has on it, too, where you can easily download mods for it that are approved. And they're like, the very first mod on the PC is a Quake 64 mod, which totally reskins it so it feels and looks like Quake 64.
Nice.
From the Nintendo 64.
A little nostalgia there.
Yeah. But yeah, it's that just playing a bunch of games on my PC because done with Avengers.
You're done.
Stupid Avengers.
What's forced you to quit this game that has been so beloved?
Like, all right.
I was ahead of the curve. I never even got started. So, screw you, Avengers.
Did they put Nightcrawler in there and they didn't depict him appropriately as a villain?
No, it wasn't that.
Oh, okay.
So a couple of weeks ago, they released the Black Panther expansion, War for Wakanda, which means you can now play as the Black Panther. And there's a whole single-player thing with a whole bunch of cinematics where Claw, who's seen in the Civil War, Avengers Civil War, in the Black Panther movie, his villain is trying to, as always, oust Black Panther from Wakanda and get all the vibranium for himself or whatever. Claw has teamed up with AIM, who you've been fighting this entire time in the Avengers game, to try and take over Wakanda and get all the vibranium. So Black Panther obviously needs the help of the Avengers in order to do this. Playing as T'Challa is kind of neat. He controls a little bit like Captain America, but his one really cool thing is that if you hold down your heavy attack, he pounces a guy. He like leaps at a guy and jumps on his shoulders and knocks him down, and then you can just beat him up while he's on the ground. But I got to the very last mission of the War for Wakanda stuff, and I was streaming it a couple of days ago, and I had to play the last mission 7 times before I gave up. Because it is a fight between Claw and Crossbones, and you have to focus on Claw and dodge his stuff and like parry at the right time. And I 7 times
you can't do it, huh?
And I couldn't figure it out. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go play something I like. I'm done trying to convince myself I'm having a good time here.
Chuck Bean has been defeated by Claw.
I have. I may go back at some point. It may be like Red Dead Redemption, where I go back at some point and be, because I have.
You know, you're waiting for a YouTube tutorial to come out that's like, here's how you defeat Claw and the Crossbones at the new update for Avengers. And
well,
you'll see how somebody else does it, and then you'll go replicate that. And then,
I did look it up.
And you'll be right back in when Spider-Man gets released.
Except my arm has really been bothering me.
Oh,
it's becoming a claw! Nothing can stop the claw!
Never thought the Jim Carrey's would be such a powerful opponent in the video game.
Yeah, no, he'd knock me right out of the Avengers, Marvel Avengers game on the PlayStation. Freaking Jim Carrey. Yeah, so it might be like Red Dead Redemption, because I already looked it up, and apparently you can't just play through all the missions and then continue like you could with both the Hawkeye ones. Like, it's literally built so that when you get near that last mission, you have to be a certain level and have put your skill points in a certain thing in order to effectively beat Claw, and I just haven't done that. So now that I'm supposed to grind Black Panther up to, you know, level 50 so I can beat him, and I'm like, I have so many other games I could be playing with that short amount of time I have to play games at night.
I hear you.
I think I'm going to play something else. But there is a new Marvel game on the way that they...
Is it the Guardians of the Galaxy?
The Guardians of the Galaxy game is coming up in just a couple of months, but they announced during Astronomicon weekend at another thing that coming in 2022 is Marvel's Midnight Suns, which will be an XCOM-style strategic game. Think Final Fantasy Tactics, maybe.
Okay.
And you'll be controlling Ghost Rider and Doctor Strange and Wolverine. Oh, wow. And some of the other spooky supernatural magic people.
Some of the really cool characters involved with this.
Yeah, well, it's named after the crossover, the Ghost Rider crossover from the 90s, the Midnight Suns, where it was all the spooky characters teamed together to fight Lilith, who was supposed to be like the Queen of the Damned or something in the Marvel Universe.
Going but that's up against Lilith. That's not a very intimidating name.
Right.
But yeah, we are the Midnight Suns. We're coming for you,
Lilith.
They're not new acoustic rock whatsoever.
Yeah. No. Like, come on.
They're there to take down the Lilith Fair. No, it's coming out in March 2022, and I'm sure there's supposed to be actually a gameplay trailer that's going while we're recording, so I'm sure I'll see that, and we can talk more about that next week.
Cool.
Last thing I got for you, as I mentioned earlier, Nickelodeon's All-Stars coming out in just about a month or so.
Yeah, which Nicktoons are we going to be able to fight as?
Revealed two more characters that are going to be in this one. First off, Cat Dog.
Cat Dog.
I remember Cat Dog. Yeah.
He's got the front half of
a cat. How's it poop?
And then the front half of a dog on his butt.
No one knows how it poops.
Just Cat Dog.
And he poops by a cat puking.
And the second character they're adding from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is April O'Neil.
Oh, wow.
You can April fight as April ass, huh? In her yellow jumpsuit.
Okay.
Slinging the microphone around and smacking people in the face with it.
Interesting. Not the characters I would have went with. But,
right.
But cool.
I don't think, at first I thought, nice slide guitar in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, at first I thought they were going to be like downloadable content characters like they do with Smash Brothers, but I guess they're just part of the game.
Okay.
When it's due out October the 5th.
I was hoping you can tell me Heifer from Rocko's Modern Life is going to be a character.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that would have been sweet to play as Heifer.
It's interesting that when they announced it, they showed like Leonardo and Michelangelo, and that was it. And I'm like, there's no way you didn't put all four turtles
in
there. Yeah,
they've probably got to put them all in there. It's cool to see April O'Neil, or maybe even Casey Jones would have made
Casey Jones.
To me, Casey Jones would have made more sense than April O'Neil.
The Shredder?
But, yeah,
Shredder. Or maybe Krang in his big old body.
Oh, dude, if you could be a Krang, I know who
whooping
I'd
on
be.
People, that'd be a lot of fun.
Krang or Reptar would be my two go-tos.
Yeah, I think that's the next thing that I actually have to pre-order.
Is the Nicktoons fighting game?
Yeah, like once or twice a year, there's a game that like, okay, I'm excited enough that I will go to the GameStop and say, here's $5. I want this when it comes out.
Yeah. You got to wait till they announce like some cool benefits for pre-ordering, though.
Yeah.
You know,
that's like, what I think last year it was Avengers, and that was around August. So I think my year of subscription
yeah, I think you're right,
is up.
I pre-ordered Avengers as well.
Yep. Well, that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio, guys.
Wow, it's over already?
Yeah.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, we're nerds.
This Transformer is cool.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
The mattress is great for...
Come on!
I don't remember the context. But...
This mattress is the best mattress I've ever done in my entire life. I mean, never that's... felt more supported. My lovers never felt more cherished and loved.
I mean, that's going to sell a mattress if you ask me, but I don't know. No, I got two scripts.
5,000.
I got two scripts in a row that had, it was just like, you know, like, I can't believe how, and then bleeping good it is. I'm like,
right.
Okay, well.
The best match I've ever
come out
had.
Yeah.
Intercourse on.
When I would board
yeah,
up.
I think I was real
come out.
Excited about Babel or something in the next one. I was just like, I'm just going to go around.
I can't
come out.
Believe I can speak Spanish.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.